Thank you, guys. So I am just always grateful and thankful for the opportunity to be able to share on Sunday mornings. And so when Kevin asked me to share about this passage, I agreed and I was excited. And then I looked at what the passage was about, and I kind of immediately felt a little bit underqualified. And I'm going to be honest with you, the reason is the passage we're talking about today is all about prayer. And there's just a lot of ways that I think my prayer life is not exactly where I would like it to be. You know, it's just one of those areas of spiritual disciplines that I have so much to learn about still, and just so many ways that I can could improve on my practice of it in my life. And on top of that, you know, I come to this topic with my own experiences, some amazing, some a little bit confusing, others even a little bit disappointing. And I say all that because whatever feeling springs up in you when I say the word prayer, it's okay. We all have different experiences and expectations around prayer, whether it's from ourselves or from someone else. And I think we all can learn and we all can grow in this area of our life. But most importantly of all, before I get any further this morning, what I want you to hear is this. God wants to be in communication and in communion with you. And so no matter where you're at when it comes to your prayer life, God wants to speak to you and wants to meet you where you are. I know Kevin prayed for me, but I think as we're talking about prayer, it'd be fitting I should pray for our morning as well. Father, I just ask this morning that you would speak to us, God, that you would transform our minds, our hearts, our lives, and just show us what it looks like to grow deeper and richer prayer lives, Lord. May my words be your words. Let your Holy Spirit speak through me. And God, just be present with us this morning. We pray all these things in your beautiful, holy, and precious name, Jesus. Amen. So we are ending the book of Ephesians today. And if you remember, Paul has been speaking about this spiritual battle that we are in, which is pretty fitting, I think, to talk about on Memorial Day weekend. And so these are going to be Paul's final words to the church in Ephesus. And I think it's important to note how Paul ends his letter here, because it could be said that the thing that maybe we most remember when someone's talking to us is the last thing that they say. So what does Paul give as his final message to the church in Ephesus and to us today? Well, last week, Kevin talked about the armor of God. And so when we read these last few verses in Ephesians today, we know that Paul is speaking within that context of the armor of God. And some translations will kind of start a new sentence, and I think this translation does in verse 18, that kind of loses the connection with the preceding ideas. Because as Paul writes about prayer here, he communicates it in a way which tells us that all other weapons are wielded by prayer. It is how we use our armor. In fact, the Greek preposition that's used basically denotes the channel of an act. So, in other words, it is through prayer or by the means of prayer that we wield every weapon in the armor that God gives us. And here's why. Kevin mentioned it last week. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. There's a war waging that we cannot see in the spiritual realm, and prayer stands in the gap in that battle. If you remember verse 12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So we can only fight this battle. We can only take up this armor that God has given us through prayer, because we need to be in communion and in connection with God as we live. In other words, you might say it like this: prayer positions ourselves in the purposes of God. Through our prayers, our hearts, our minds are positioned to respond to God and be made aware of how he is at work. I think it's important to note that yes, the threat of danger exists, but ultimately, long term, we know that the enemy is defeated. God reigns and he is king over all, and so Satan has some power, but his power is limited and he is not in control. And that doesn't mean the spiritual battles we're facing aren't serious, but it does mean that we can pray and we can live courageously, knowing who ultimately is on the throne. So we're going to be ending the book of Ephesians today. If you have your Bibles, feel free to grab them, otherwise it'll be on the screen up there. And I'm going to say, Paul's going to kind of go out with a bang here, okay? He's going to give us some encouraging words, some challenging words, specifically when it comes to prayer. But let's read this together. This is Ephesians 6, 18 through 24. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord, Jesus Christ, with an undying love. So today we are going to focus mostly on verses 18 and 20, and there's actually a lot to unpack just in that first verse in 18, so we're going to spend a lot of our time there today. So I don't know if you caught that, but in verse 18, Paul uses this word, all, four times. Now, technically in the NIV version, the third time he says it, it says always, but in the Greek, it's the same word, pas, meaning all. So he says here, we are to pray on all occasions in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and requests, being alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And basically what Paul is doing here is he's giving us the when, the how, and the for whom we are to pray for. So let's start with the when. Paul says to pray on all occasions or at all times. Now, when I hear that, I'm like, but surely he doesn't mean like at all times, right? That would be impossible. Well, I think Paul is saying at all times we are to be in prayer, but it might mean something different than we think. When Paul says we're to pray at all times, I don't think he means that every single day of our life we are to be in a 24-hour quiet time alone with God, because that really is not possible. Unless you're called to be a monk and that's between you and the Lord, you can pursue that. But I think what Paul means here is that we are to be in communication and in connection with God, which really is what prayer is, in a way that it is like breathing for us. In a sense, our prayers are our spiritual breathing. And like breathing, prayer like this is constant. It is something that's just a natural part of our day, and it's something that is hard to live without. Now, I do think it is important to have those set apart quiet times where we're devoting that time to the Lord, spending time in his presence through his word and through prayer. But I think the kind of prayer that Paul is talking about here is more of that constant breathing in and out the presence of God, being in communication with him throughout our day. So he says to pray on all occasions, but he makes a qualifier here. He says we're to pray not just at all times, but pray in the Spirit. So what does that mean? Well, there's a lot of things that we could talk about today as we dig deeper into what the Spirit of God does, but a few things I want to highlight. In Romans 8, 26 through 27, we see that the Spirit helps us when we pray. This is what it says. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So what that means is that even if we don't know the words to say, or we don't have the words to give, the Spirit intercedes on our behalf to communicate with God for us. It says here, even through our groans, even through our sighs or tears or frustrated noises or happy sounds and excitement, the Spirit communicates with God what you want or need him to hear. Another way the Spirit is present in our prayers is that he gives us confidence in approaching God as our good and perfect Father. A few verses earlier in Romans 8, 15 through 16, it says, "The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." And that children father language, you might remember in the Lord's Prayer when Jesus sets an example of how to pray, he says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And I want to spend a little time on this because I think how you view God, who you picture at the other end of your prayers, the person you think is listening to you, that's really important. Because how you see God will influence how you experience and share God in your everyday life. So I think an important question for us to ask is, how do you see God? Addison Bevere shares in his book, Words with God, "The Lord's Prayer challenges us to reject fragmented ideas of God, compelling us to see our Maker as both tender Father and holy God." I don't know how your experiences with your earthly father have impacted how you see God as Father, but I think it's important to think about, because the God that we serve and we love and we get to communicate with in prayer is set apart. He's perfect, unlike our earthly fathers. And he displays and is love. And if we were to truly believe that about who our God is, I think it might change the way that we pray and we communicate with him. Lastly, I want to touch on how God uses the Spirit to speak to us. As Paul says in verse 19 in the passage we're looking at today, he says that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. So basically, the Spirit helps us communicate with God and brings God's response back to us. So if prayer is like our spiritual breathing, the Spirit of God is the very oxygen that we breathe by. We exhale our words and our thoughts to God through the Spirit, and we inhale and receive God's words and thoughts to us through the Spirit. All right, so we've gone through the first quarter of verse 18. So there's a lot there. Like I said, let's keep going. After Paul gives us this charge to pray at all times in the Spirit, he says to pray with all kinds of prayers and requests. And this word request in some of your translations might say supplication or petition. But basically, it means bringing a need or seeking or entreating to God or asking God for aid. Now, for me, I think this might be the easiest part of this challenge that Paul gives when he talks about prayer. I'm fairly good at communicating with and seeking God when I need help. And I don't believe that's a bad thing. And for some of us, maybe that's what we need to work on. Maybe instead of first looking to other things or other people when it comes to the help that we need to first go to the Lord with our needs. And it's not that going to other people is bad, but sometimes we might not seek the Lord first. So an important question might be this: who do you seek or ask help from first? I don't know how many of you have read the story, The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom, but it is an amazing story, and I can't believe it took me this long to read it. I just read it this year. And so it's Corrie ten Boom. She's the writer of this story, and she's telling her story. Yeah, she was a Dutch woman, and she talks about how during World War II, her family had Jews during the German occupation in their town, and so she talks about that in this book, and then she also talks about how because of them working with the underground, they were captured, her and her sister Betsy, and they were sent to a concentration camp. And there's so many convicting, encouraging, challenging stories in this book, but one that really struck me was when they got to one of their concentration camps that they were at, they went into the sleeping barracks to, put the few things that they had with them in there. And while they're in there, Corrie notices that there are fleas everywhere. And she's kind of freaking out about it. And she says this to her sister, Betsy: "Here and here another one," I wailed. "Betsy, how can we live in such a place?" And then Betsy says, show us how." Corrie responds, "It was said so matter-of-factly, it took me a second to realize she was praying. More and more, the distinction between prayer and the rest of life seemed to be vanishing for Betsy." And I think that's a beautiful picture of the kind of prayer that Paul is calling us to. Prayers that are such a natural part of our life and our conversation that it's just like breathing. Especially when we're put in difficult circumstances, God wants to hear from us. and we can seek him and bring our requests to him. So that's two alls. The third all that Paul gives us in verse 18 is to keep alert in all ways, keep on praying, or I might say in some translations, persevere. And this root in the Greek, there's a lot of good things here, but it basically means to adhere to be constant to one, steadfastly attentive to, in constant readiness, to wait on constantly. So I think what Paul is saying here is don't give up. Even when we don't get prayers answered in the ways that we think they should be answered or we thought they would be answered, we are called to wait on God and keep seeking him in a steadfast, constantly attentive way. We should be, I love that image, adhering ourselves to God, not willing to give up or give in to despair. Now, some of us, myself included, instead of being consistently and constantly steadfast in our prayer, we instead are more steadfast and consistent in our worry or our fear or anxiety. And I don't think that's what God wants for us. In fact, it says in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, which is actually a great parallel passage to what we're looking at today, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, what it's not saying here is your life will be perfect and easy and go exactly the way that you want it if you just pray enough. I think what it's saying is that if we're constantly seeking that connection and communication with God, the mere fact that we are adhering ourselves to God will mean a few things. First, his peace is present in our hearts and our minds through Christ, because if we're in the presence of Jesus, how could we not experience his peace? Second, we'll notice the ways God is working in and through our prayers. We'll have such a strong connection with him that his answers to our prayers will just be more evident because we'll be opening up our eyes to him in that way. And I think also what's important is that in the waiting and in the persevering in prayer, sometimes it's more about what God is doing in us, like building our trust or transforming our character or changing our hearts and our minds. A lot of times it's more about that than the actual answer to prayer. So an important question for you to ask today might be, where have I been tempted to give up when it comes to prayer and seeking the Lord? And how could I stay steadfast in my prayer instead of steadfast in my worry? There have been many seasons in my life where it has been easy for me to feel like giving up in my prayer life and seeking the Lord. But one specific season I want to share was a couple years after I'd graduated college, and I was working part-time as an associate director for a high school ministry at a church in Roseville. And I'd been there for a couple years, and I was just getting to that point where I was like, yep, I feel called to full-time ministry, and I've been doing this part-time thing for a while, so I'm ready to take that next step. And so I looked online at openings and positions that I could apply to, and they weren't really, there wasn't a lot that was the right fit. Some of them, I got interviewed, and I was just like, no, this isn't the right thing, or some of them said no to me, and it was a bit discouraging. But then something happened. The full-time high school pastor position at the church I was currently at opened up. And I was like, this is awesome. This is obviously the Lord's plan for me. He's opening this door. Like, this is great. This is why I've been waiting, what I've been waiting for. And so I applied to this position at that church, and I went through the interview process, and it was a little weird because I was being interviewed by some of the people I was already working with, but I went through this process, and after a couple months, they made a decision, and they said no to me. And I was absolutely devastated, because first, I was very confident that this is what the Lord had for me, but then also, I had already built those relationships and connections with the students there, and it was just heartbreaking for me to think about leaving that church. And so after really grieving that loss and processing that for a while, I decided, okay, I got to keep looking because I do feel like I am called to this full-time youth ministry thing. And so I looked at some openings that were available, And there was a church, then called Wayzata Free, that I had never heard anything about, that I saw an open position, and I applied, and you probably know the story. I interviewed, and I got the job, and it has been incredible. And I am so thankful, and I could go into lots of details, but just so thankful that I am here in this community working with the students that we have at this church. But the reason I share this story is that in that season, it was really hard for me to not give up seeking the Lord and praying about his direction for my life. So in your life, what is an area that might be difficult for you? And be honest with the Lord about it. The last all that Paul gives here in this verse is to pray for all the Lord's people. You see, we are called to live our life with that breathing-like prayer in connection with God, but it's not a practice just meant for our individual lives. It is to be others-focused as well, I think sometimes maybe even more so than for ourselves, because we have the opportunity, the privilege, and the calling to pray on behalf of other people. Like we read in that passage in Romans 8, the Spirit not only intercedes on our behalf through prayer, but he also intercedes on behalf of other people when we are praying for them. So an important question for you to ask today might be, how can I focus more on others in my prayer life? And there are so many things that we could pray for when it comes to other people, and specifically other believers, which Paul talks about here. But I think it's important to look at how Paul finishes this thought that he started in verse 18. This is what he says in 19 through 20. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul focuses here on having the people of Ephesus pray for him in a way where he's asking them to pray for him so that the gospel could be shared. And what I think is really interesting and really convicting is that Paul doesn't ask them to pray that he would be released from his chains. He doesn't pray that. He prays that he would have the boldness and the right words to continue to preach the good news of Jesus while he was in chains. And so I think when we're praying for both ourselves, but also other people and specifically other believers, we are not called to ask God for a carefree or comfortable life. God wants to give us peace, yes, but most of the time that's peace in the midst of struggle. And our prayers, like Paul's, should be focused on asking God to give us opportunities to share the gospel and the wisdom to know how to do that well, to bring the kingdom of God here on earth. You see, prayer brings us to this intersection between our earthly reality and the spiritual realities happening. In other words, it awakens our awareness of what God is doing in us and through the world around us. And it gives us an opportunity to participate in it, to bring the kingdom of heaven here on earth. One of the commentaries I was reading said it like this: like a radar beam that keeps a plane on track, prayer keeps us alert and in line with God's purposes. In that story I was sharing earlier from The Hiding Place with Corey and her sister Betsy and the flea situation they were experiencing in their sleeping barracks. So this is happening and Corey's kind of freaking out, and then Betsy remembers, she remembers this verse in 1 Thessalonians that they were reading earlier that day. And in it, and it's actually a great parallel verse to what we're talking about today, but it talks about praying continuously and thanking God in everything. And so Betsy starts thanking God for where they're at in their concentration camp and for all these details. And then at the end of her prayer, she thanks God for the fleas. And Corey was on board until then. But when Betsy thanked God for the fleas, she was like, nope, I knew that just couldn't be right. But what's amazing is that a couple chapters later, they find out that, so the sleeping barracks they were in was the only place that the German soldiers would not enter into. And so that was their private, safe place where they could have Bible studies and worship services and share Jesus with the other women there. And the only reason the soldiers wouldn't go in there was because there were fleas. And so I think that's a beautiful story of how Betsy had positioned herself in God's purposes as she lived her life as a prayer. So How do we actually live this out in our lives, right? A couple of things. First, prayer, unfortunately, does not have a formula. Even though Jesus did give us that example of the Lord's Prayer in the Gospels, and I think that's a great one to study and look at, he didn't really give us a specific formula for this, and I think that's on purpose. Because Jesus knew that if he gave us a formula, we would try to manipulate it or make it part of like a regimented process in our life, instead of prayer being a real, intimate, and life-transforming way to connect with God. So unfortunately, I don't have a five-step formula for you today to make your prayer life everything you want it to be. But one thing that I want to encourage you to do is this. Practice. In the words of Nike, just do it. Prayer is like any other spiritual muscle that we build. The more you use it, the more you actually pray, the easier it will be to build that rhythm and practice in your life. And I think that just the more natural it will become, that kind of breathing-like connection with God. And also, the more that we build that practice in quantity, I think the quality will also improve, the deeper and richer our prayer lives will be. And so a few encouragements for you when it comes to practicing. First, start small. Start small with one step. Maybe it's at the beginning of your day, you just take 5 minutes, and you think about what's something in my everyday life that I can just start incorporating prayer into. So, a few examples. It might be when you're in the car. Most of us get into a vehicle at some point during our day. Maybe that's the time that you check in with the Lord, talking to him, listening to him. Maybe it's when you're in the bathroom, which I know might seem very silly, but for some of you, maybe that's the one time in your day that you get a little alone time and you get to focus a little bit, and that's a time where you can connect with Jesus. Maybe your check engine light during your day is when you're experiencing like a negative emotion. So when you're experiencing anxiety or frustration or worry or fear, that's kind of your alert of like, okay, I'm feeling this. How about I check in with the Lord and see how he wants to connect with me right now? Or maybe it's on the opposite side of the spectrum. When you're experiencing joy or something exciting and that's filling you with life, that's when you praise and you thank God in that moment. Maybe it's when a person comes to mind that's in your life, especially if someone is going through something difficult. Or whether it's through you driving or just looking on your phone, you see something that's broken in the world. And that's the moment you take to pray on behalf of other people. So that's the first thing, start small. Second, speaking and listening is important in prayer. Anyone who knows anything about communication knows that in any relationship, it's important to both share and to listen, to give and to receive. And the same is true when it comes to God. He wants to hear from us, and it doesn't have to be fancy words or phrases. He just wants to hear what's on our hearts, our thoughts, our feelings, our requests, our longings. But we also should be posturing our hearts in a way where we can listen to what he has to say to us. And as far as hearing the voice of God, he could speak to you through his word, through other people, through worship, through a thought or feeling you have that you know you did not come up with on your own. And really, this could be a whole series, sermon series on hearing the voice of God. But it starts with having a posture of being open to actually hearing from him. And again, it's not a formula. I can't give you an A happens, then B happens. But as you build this rhythm in your life, I truly believe God will speak to you. And then one last thing just to think about is maybe a way that's helpful for you as you pray is to think about these three tiers of people to pray for. First, yourself. That personal, you know, honest just conversation with God, talking to him, listening to him, what's going on in your life. Second, your friends and family. Who are the people in your life that you love, that you can go to the Father on behalf of and pray for? And then the world. What's going on in the world, in the city that you live in our country? What are the things that kind of break your heart and you want to intercede on the behalf of others to God about? At the end of the day, God wants to be in communication and in communion with you. And really, that's the gospel. Jesus came and he died on the cross to save us from our sins and also to reconcile us to God so that we could have a real personal relationship with him. And any real relationship requires communication and connection. God wants intimacy with you, And part of building that is through prayers. God listens and God responds, not always in the way we want or we expect, but he responds. And I believe prayer does change things, not just outside of us, but also within us. The worship team is going to play part of a worship song. And as they do, I just encourage you, you can stand, you can sit, but I just encourage you in this time to think about, how could I make prayer a regular breathing-like practice in my life?